flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia.
You do that,
points
that.
North, south, east, west. I'm back, baby. We're back. Got some Z-Pack. That's a game changer, dog. Z-Pack and some serious sleep. That'll change your life. This is B. Mitchell Finley. Good morning, Brian. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. What's happening, Mitch?
I'm good, man. Kind of trying to get back on track here. It's funny. You get thumped, man. Just feel like quite bad for 48 hours or whatever. It'll get you, but I feel a lot better. Excited for the day here. I will confess, because Jeff and Landfill were like asking me if I was coming in. My kids have a half day today, and if they had a full day of school, might have been working from home, but there's a tea party scheduled at my house this afternoon, Brian. And I just didn't think the radio and a tea party really would mesh.
Nah, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't work. You know, they're all at home?
No, they got a half day.
Oh, so half day and then all, nah.
But they'll be getting home at 12:30. We'd have like 90 minutes of the show left. Yeah.
I know one little person going to make sure it doesn't work right.
Nah. When we did the show from my house the other day, just chilling, she almost caused a little trouble. So,
but she's my buddy though, man.
She's fun, man.
Yeah, that's my little buddy.
She's wild, dude. Landfill
Look
writes
at her parents. What the hell you expect?
That's a fair point. I'm fired up. Our guy Thor Nystrom is down in Mobile, Alabama, and he will join us right at 10:30. He scouts the hell out of the Senior Bowl. What I appreciate about Thor, if you don't follow his work, he's a really strong follow in lots of phases. If you're into betting during the season, but he really follows college football at a high level, and it's so easy to get sucked into skill positions when you're down in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what matters is the big fellas, and there's so many
the big
good
beefies.
Yeah, man. So we're gonna talk to Thor about the work he's been doing. If you want to check him out before he comes on the show, it's at ThorKU on social media. There's rumors about uniform updates. There's all sorts of stuff going on out there. Brian Westbrook's going to join us at noon. We're going to open these phone lines up at 1. But, B, Landfill writes a pretty simple question off the top here.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the worst sports week of the year?
Not really. If you are strictly a football watcher, yes, it is probably one of those. But if you're a person that watch multiple sports and – you get fired up for the Super Bowl, but all because like if you turn on any sports show right now, they are giving you topics that you probably never would have thought of. You know, This one here, I think everybody thinks, will Jalen Hurts decide the Super Bowl? Yes.
You know? These shows are getting so progressively awful. So I don't know which one this is. FT. So this is First Take. Cam Newton has like a hat.
Cam Newton just wear weird stuff. That's point blank.
I don't care what you wear, right? Yeah. But I saw one of the topics coming up. Mm-hmm. Is Joe Burrow an elite quarterback?
See, the thing about
is that debatable?
Right now, Joe Burrow is an elite quarterback. We all know that.
Right.
But for me, I don't want to hear a damn thing about Joe Burrow right now. I want to hear right before the Super Bowl, for me, and you know, I'm kind of normally just straight-laced, but I'm kind of geeky when it comes down to the Super Bowl week. I want you to break down every little tidbit of it. You know, I want to know which offensive line, where he come from.
Right.
What makes him tick?
That's kind of next week.
How did they fight through something? No, but that stuff starts this week. They start getting little things, then they build it up for next week. So once you get to the Super Bowl, when we get down there, it's going to be something happening on a
sure.
daily basis.
But the story will
but
emerge.
Even this week, like, you know, with hockey and basketball and, you know, all that, you can find stuff to do. But if you are a straight football guy, it is the worst week because everything ended and you hear nothing.
Look at this. This is my boy Jack Kelly. We play golf with him and his pop.
Uh-huh.
He just said he's listening to our show right now. From
out fishing?
I mean,
it looked like he's icing.
My guess is he's hunting.
But that's on the water, right?
Yeah, but I mean, there's ducks and geese.
Oh, okay.
That's where you go.
If I'm the dog today, I am a boycott. I'm not jumping in that damn water. What the hell's wrong with you?
That,
you jump in the water, Jack.
That dog loves the water, man. But it's
you shoot a duck, boom, and your dog go like, yeah. Go ahead, get it.
I would love nuanced conversation about the Super Bowl matchup. I'm not sure will Jalen Hurts decide the Super Bowl is the nuanced conversation you're looking for. But when I saw is Joe Burrow an elite quarterback,
sometimes you can ask stupid questions. That question is already answered. You know the answer to that.
So
hell yeah, he's won.
Here's the truth. This is not the worst sports week of the year or even close to it, but it feels awful because you have the withdrawal of football.
Yeah.
You recognize, like, oh, man,
yeah,
there's no football.
Yeah, I'm with that.
If you want to convince yourself that the Pro Bowl's cool, then enjoy that, please.
They started showing that stuff last night, right?
Well, I think
I don't think I saw anything, but I know I didn't see anything. I was on a treadmill, and a thing popped up on a little, what's called that, the games start tonight. And I didn't get off the treadmill to go look for it.
What all is included in the Pro Bowl games?
They have flag football. They have some video games. They have dodgeball. A few other little stuff. But
I guess there was some stuff last night.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It said that last night. So, but when I got off the treadmill, you know what I did? I went and I turned to the golf channel.
Yeah, from
Pebble. I much watched golf. And I saw a hole in one last night, too.
Lowry.
Yeah.
I
like that. And then Condoleezza Rice, woman can play some golf. She loves golf, too. I did not care to
She's a member at Augusta.
I didn't care to watch any of those games like that because, let's be real, man. If you are a football nut, you want to see football. You don't want to see guys running around playing dodgeball and all that crap. I don't care about that.
The quarterback stuff's kind of interesting, although I didn't watch a second of it. So apparently, this is from NFL.com, and, hey, man, you got to hype up your own products. Everybody come to 106.7 The Fan live tonight. But apparently Jared Goff looked good in the
Jared Goff looked good in the
Pro Bowl game skills
competition. He looks good in football games, too.
Yeah.
Until he gets pressure on him.
Quinnen Williams won something called the, what do they call this? The big spike?
The big guy spiking the ball?
I think it was like, you know, the big hammer at the carnival?
Okay.
I don't know.
That really helps us.
I tell you what, we need an official Pro Bowl correspondent. Hold on. I'm just going to read this sentence, and I'll let you do what you want with it.
Mm-hmm.
NFC closing in on three-peat. No doubt looking to flex for new head coach Brian Schottenheimer. Cowboys offensive lineman Tyler Smith caught a ball from the Colts' Quentin Nelson to clinch 3 points and a win in the second and final dodgeball game of the evening.
One finger salute. Who gives a damn about a big dude catching the NFC looking for a three-peat? And then they mentioned Brian Schottenheimer as a head coach. Who cares?
Do you think any part of Cowboys offensive lineman Tyler Smith catching a ball from the Colts' Quentin Nelson to secure the final dodgeball game of the evening, do you think at any moment in Tyler Smith's head, he was like, oh, man, we got a new head coach. I really got to impress in this dodgeball game?
No.
Like,
no,
what
no.
the hell are this, we talking man. About here?
See, the world has become a world of narratives.
Sure.
And I think when people tune in, people really want to hear some truth. They want to hear facts a lot of times. But they get narratives. They get personal opinions about this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden, they're confused. If they think that anybody care about that statement that you just read, I don't think Brian Schottenheimer even care about that statement. For sure, Tyron Smith doesn't give a damn about that statement.
Hey,
what the hell is
that's
this?
That's an all-timer. You looking know, to impress new coach Brian man, Schottenheimer. Tyler on, Smith dog. Caught a ball man. In the Pro Bowl. So I'm trying to move past like being mad at the Pro Bowl. I understand what they're doing.
And listen, if I am an owner of a football team and my guy made it to the Pro Bowl, I want him to come back out the Pro Bowl safe. So if this is going to be better, but let's be real. Didn't the guy on the flag, I mean, playing volleyball, flag football on sand.
It was sand.
Blew his knee out.
It was a Patriots
running
player.
Back, wasn't he?
Yeah, I can't remember. That was years
but
ago.
Guys can still get hurt, and I understand what they're doing. But let's stop calling it the Pro Bowl. Let's call it the festivities, okay? Or let's just say weekend of fun. You know, let's do something like that, because when you say Pro Bowl, people start thinking back to, like, Pro Bowl.
They've started calling it the Pro Bowl games.
Well, just say games. Just say NFL games. Let's get rid of the Pro Bowl. Because the Pro Bowl remind me of when Sean Taylor ran through a punter.
I think they could do the remember the old, maybe they still have this, but World's Strongest Man? It would be like Magnus Ver Magnuson every year flipping tires.
But when like, I
have some dudes out there flipping some tires.
You know, when I went to the Pro Bowl,
a truck.
We had a day where it was just competitions. And then you have to play the game still. So just call it NFL competitions. You're like, hey, you can promote it like this. You know, you all always wonder what the athletes can do other than just play football. Well, we have a weekend to show you. Do it like that. But get rid of the fact of making us think it's going to be anything about real football.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing about real football. NBA, stop saying all-star game and say three-point shooting contest. And call it the whole weekend because that's all the hell they do anyway.
B, half these NBA games are barely more than a three-point shooting contest.
Hockey is just about skating fast and scoring. There ain't nothing else happening.
Hockey's the closest to it. Honestly, it's
baseball. is home run derby.
Nah, because the pitchers try to show up too.
Pitchers try to show up.
Baseball's still
but
the realest.
You see
one.
A lot of hits hit in our place in the All Star weekend. Then you see these pitchers. Pitchers are not throwing as hard as they normally do.
Well, and a lot of guys more and more kind of opt out. Like, oh, it's not my day in the rotation.
Like, what did our JJ Watt say yesterday? It's a participation bowl.
Right.
You know, when you get to the fifth alternate, it's not, you didn't, the guys that you chose and you want to see, you're not going to see.
So it's not a shot at anybody because I'm not saying, like, I think Drake May can play and he's an exciting young player, but the fact that Drake May is going to the Pro Bowl with Russell Wilson, like, what are we doing here? So beyond just the Pro Bowl being what it is. Caps played last night. Ovi scored to send them into OT. They ended up losing in OT. I just saw this from Greenberg. He says, I think Ovi's 19 goals away now. And Greenberg, being Greenberg, is trying to figure out when he'll break the record. And he's got it down to what looks like the first week of April. He thinks Raleigh against the Hurricanes on April 2nd is the most likely. If not, the Blackhawks at home on April 4th, or the March 30th at home against the Sabres, or all the way until April 10th against the Hurricanes. I want to be clear. I'm curious if you agree. With something like that, you can't game that. Like, you can't, like, oh, I want it to happen at home. Because you can go 2-3 games without a goal. Yeah, you can score three goals in one game.
You could love to want it to happen at home, but you don't know. Hell, he might get crazy and have a hat trick on the road one day and get all of them. He could be two away and go 1-2-3 in one night. You think he's going to go one and say, nah, I'm going to wait till I get home and do it. He's going to still try to score.
Totally.
No.
I totally agree. I think, so the Caps lost last night.
Still a good point. Half point, right?
Yeah, for the OT.
Yeah.
I think you get a point. But
a point? Cool.
I think I put on the Wizards game last night.
Whew.
Did you happen to put the Wiz game on last night? The Lakers were in town?
Just like I put on the Pro Bowl stuff last night, I put the Wiz stuff on the same way. I watch Golf Channel.
B, I'm telling you, I think I put it on about halftime. They were down 30. And I kind of checked back in the fourth quarter. I'm like, there are a lot of people that want to take a lot of shots at Bronny and how LeBron got him into the league and whatever. It happened. It occurred. Bronny got to play 12 minutes last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is – remember that Pistons team that was really good, that won the title? And whenever the kid that went number two, the European dude, so it went LeBron, Darko Milicic, and then Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever Darko got in the game, it was like the human victory cigar.
Yeah, you knew that they were winning.
That's where Bronny is at this point. Yeah, He's the human victory cigar. They won by 40, 35. I don't know. You can do the math. 134 to 96. I think that's 38. yo, Bronny already getting away with calls. He fouled the hell out of Bub Carrington in the corner and just got away with it. And I don't know why they didn't challenge, but they were down 25, so maybe the coach was like, whatever, let's just keep it moving.
Hey, referees have lives to live too, JP.
Yeah.
The ref like, I'm not calling this crap. I got to get some more seconds. Let's get this game over with.
It's
this
funny.
This is garbage.
I was listening to...
I'm watching trash.
I was listening to Van Pelt's podcast the other day, and Stanford Steve was saying how he watches the Wizards games and that they're a good watch because they play hard. And I agree with him. Like, I enjoy watching these Wizards teams, but it's hard to reconcile, B. They do play hard. Like, I like the way Keith has them playing. Brian, they're 6-41.
Yeah.
Do you know what? How many in a row they've lost right now?
I don't even care to know how many lost. But I can tell you this: this is
16 in a row.
This is where things happen. Now they are coaching and game planning to lose, and I know those players cannot really deal with that. Because, like, I guarantee, if you really watch the game, there ain't no coaching and no game planning to try to figure something out, you know?
I think they're trying to develop young players, but you're right. It's not necessarily.
Yeah, but that is listen, man, that can be tough on the psyche, dude.
Sure.
We discuss mental health ad nauseum these days. Hell, if those players aren't mentally strong, they're going to be messed up by the time they start winning.
B, their road record is 1-21.
You know what, man?
It's the assignment. It's what we all asked for.
Listen, bro. I know they have some astronomical point spreads against them, but if you just take the other team with the points, you could probably change your lifestyle these days, man.
What was it yesterday,
Landfill? 16.5, something like that? And they lost by 44, you said? 46? Or 42, whatever it was?
It was a lot.
That's a lot of damn points, man.
We're going to get to Thor live from Mobile, Alabama in just a minute. I did want to take a minute, and I'm sure you guys addressed this yesterday. I wasn't here. I will often mention my ride downtown is Rock Creek Parkway down below the Kennedy Center and around Memorial Bridge. And there are a lot of days where I'm reminded how beautiful of a stark reminder of how awful everything from Wednesday night was. And I texted with some folks. Have you seen, you know, there were all these ice skating folks on that plane.
14 total.
Awful. And, you know, the Ashburn Ice House is right there.
I heard one little young lady went to a school not far from my house.
Dude, so the Ashburn Ice House, which is right there by Commander's Park. I mean, it's right around the corner by that Shell station. And I know some folks that play hockey there. They're involved in the impact this is making on that. And it's crazy when these things become so local. And it's just driving by there and seeing everything this morning was just such a stark reminder of how precious life is, and gosh, our thoughts and prayers are so there for everyone involved, and just so sad. And you
keep
hope
you focus on that too. I don't know the other stupidity that's popping up.
Seriously. All right, when we come back, we're going to Mobile, Alabama. Nobody go.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, getting... wasting no time, getting right to the Rude Guest Hotline to bring in our friend, Mr. Thor Nystrom. Thor is live down in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. You can read all of his work, Matt Barry's Fantasy Life. Thor, what's up, dude? How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. I was already juiced up from the Senior Bowl, but I was doing that Night of the Roxbury head bob as well coming in. So, yeah, feeling good, boys.
That'll get you going. I was like, Emilio! Yeah. All right, so... I said this before you were on the air, so I'm not just blowing smoke here. If folks are into kind of the draft process and you're not following Thor, you're doing it wrong. It's at Thor, K-U, T-H-O-R-K-U. I don't know that anybody posts like more video than you did for Mobile. I've done Mobile a number of times. It's fascinating to watch the evaluators, watch these guys. Let's start broadly, kind of what position groups stood out the most to you from the Senior Bowl?
First, thanks for the kind words. I really appreciate that. And the biggest one for me as far as the standout would be the defensive front. We saw some mutants out there, the real mutant, Deion Walker, in terms of physical size. Now, he's up and down. I certainly wouldn't call him a winner. Might even be a bit of a loser from this week. Some of the reps weren't there, but you did see the flash reps, the high-end upside. But some of the other guys we saw, like I said, mutants. And I'm going to extend from interior defensive line to edge.
Okay.
But Walter Nolan definitely caught the eye. A very, very active former five-star recruit who had gone to Texas A&M and then last season transferred to the Portal King and Ole Miss and had a tremendous final season on campus as well. And people couldn't block him one-on-one here. He's too quick and he's too strong. He compares himself to Aaron Donald. That might be going a little bit far, but if you want to think of him as like slightly discounted Aaron Donald, I think that would be fair. And then a guy that he began his collegiate career with, Shamar Stewart at Texas A&M, a guy who is a bit of a hybrid between an interior defensive lineman and an edge rusher. I think probably his best fit in the NFL might be as a 3-4 defensive end, but he was causing all kinds of havoc here. He has a very quick first step, but it goes beyond that because his legs are so long. He gets on top of the outside shoulder of the offensive lineman in a flash, and then he's around the corner. And there was this one rep where he slapped the ball out of the Memphis quarterback's hand, Seth Hennigan, in like, in 0.7 seconds. You know, he's already there and, you know, just slapping the thing out. That kid's got nearly a 7-foot wingspan and super twitchy. So I would say the defensive front in general was the best position group here.
Any of those guys could drop the number 29?
You tell me.
I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, there is going to be plenty of help there available there at that slot in the late first round for sure. You know, this is people talk about the depth of the running back class, and this is certainly very good at the running back. But you talk about the first round, we're going to see a whole bunch of interior defensive linemen go there, and then early on there in day two, just a stacked position group. And you're going to get a bit of a discount on some of those guys, maybe late first round, that maybe would have gone 10 slots higher in one of these other classes the past couple years. Good spot or good year to be needing to shop early for interior defensive linemen.
I know a team that wears burgundy and gold that's probably got to rebuild their D-line in some capacity. You mentioned the running backs there also. I'm fascinated. I think Genty looks like a clear top 10, top 15 guy. But I know there's a lot of excitement about other backs, even down to day two, day three guys. What were some of the running backs that stood out to you?
Yeah, this might be the best running back class we've had for the last decade. In terms of the overall draft class, you have the crown jewel at the top. You have a legitimate second tier. I think that's Caleb Johnson and Omarion Hampton, big hammerbacks. And then tier three, guys that are going to be off the board in this class before probably the middle of the second round are the two Ohio State kids. But in Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. But like I said, way, way deeper than that. You have 30 other running backs in this class that you're going to need to investigate deeply. There's going to be undrafted running backs in this class that are longtime NFL contributors. I ardently believe that. Good year to be needing a running back. And we had a bunch of good ones here. We didn't get to see Cam Scataboo, which was a big disappointment for me personally because I love that kid's game coming out of Arizona State. But he had a long season, so I couldn't really blame him for the opt-out right before the event. But we still got to see some good ones and guys that are in competition for running back six. It's a big question with this class. After those consensus top five, who slots in right after that? Devin Neal from Kansas, a guy that we saw here has tremendous feet, tremendous, tremendous feet at 220 pounds, is a guy who is certainly jockeying for position there. R.G. Harvey is another one. Ollie Gordon. I thought Ollie Gordon did a good job this week sort of stopping the fall of his stock after this past regular season. His counting stats basically got cleaved in half in a bad situation at Oklahoma State. They had a veteran quarterback that can't move and wasn't throwing the ball very well this year, so there was a lot of ganging up on Ollie Gordon. But again, I thought he had a decent week. But yeah, the running back class overall is just absolutely stacked this year in the NFL draft.
That's great to hear. Other spots, B. Mitch and I have this contention, Thor, and I'm curious what you think. We're talking with our friend Thor Nystrom on the Rude Guest Hotline. Thor is down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. He's been watching these guys all week. If you're interested in kind of the pre-draft process, I recommend following Thor at ThorKU. Washington's going into an offseason where they far exceeded expectations. They got a bunch of cap space, but they also have a bunch of these kind of veteran one-year contracts they're going to have to make some decisions with, right? Beamich and I both are of the mindset to not go top of the market spending at receiver because there's just so many good receivers year after year after year of coming out in the draft. Mm-hmm. What's this receiver class look like? And do you agree with kind of the central premise that as passing offenses and 7-on-7 has proliferated so much across the country, I mean, into high school, that these kids just come in at more ready to play than they have in previous generations?
For sure. And in general, yes. The different sort of options that you get, I think of like a pass catching core as a basketball team. You know, you don't want four or five power forwards on the floor at the same time. You know, you want the different body types and the different games of the four pass catchers that you're deploying. And we get the wider range of those now in the modern game, right? Where, you know, you go back 15 years, everyone just wanted the tall boundary receivers. And now you have, like, for instance, a guy like Tez Johnson. I was talking to him on the field after practice yesterday, you know, and I was like, there's not many guys out there, you know, that we can compare to a 155-pounder. But he was like, I was just texting Tank Dell in the locker room right before I came out here. And turns out that him and Tank Dell are really good friends, and they text all the time. And Tez is asking him, you know, for advice for the NFL. We, back in the day, we wouldn't have had a guy like that have an opportunity to play in the NFL. But this draft class specifically, if I'm a team like the Commanders, this might be a year where maybe I don't take a receiver because I think this receiver class is down. You know, we got the market correction in a good way on the running back class coming from last year where the running back class stunk, and now we're going to have a potentially historic running back class. We've had some tremendous wide receiver classes here the last 5 years. This year it's a bit down. You know, you only have, in my opinion, one guy who has pretty close to an unimpeachable evaluation in Teterol and McMillan, the big pterodactyl from Arizona. Luther Burden from Missouri, the consensus wide receiver, too. He's going to be a solid slot, a good, I think, slot receiver in the NFL, but he's a slot, and he had a down season. They had a really strange thing going on with Missouri's offense this year. And then, you know, from there, all of a sudden, now you're down into guys who have even more questions on their evaluation. I know Washington, you know, you probably put wide receiver as a top three need. Maybe look for another avenue this year, whereas in general, maybe you shop for that in the draft. But I think the trench play for Washington and then maybe the back half of that defense maybe for this class, it fits better with the position groups and qualitatively what they're offering.
I think you improve the big boys, you improve your team. I think a lot of times people look at the skill positions and they feel they go get that. But if you don't have time and you can't get pressure, those guys are going to look mediocre instead of looking like they're supposed to look.
That's right, yeah. And you have a lot of those big, long-levered athletes coming off the edge in this class. Again, one of the strengths of it, and guys that improve their stock here as well. I think Washington, maybe they might have had a close eye on Shamar Stewart, you know, being an example of one guy here. But, yeah, that edge group,
that
along with
A&M
that interior
kid?
Defensive line. The Texas A&M kid, yeah.
Okay.
It was funny, on Wednesday we were walking out of the media availability session, and down on the street there was a dude walking with Shamar Stewart that our group happened to be walking right behind down the street. And the guy was wheeling Shamar Stewart's suitcase. And it sure looked like Shamar Stewart was leaving. And so had to ask him, are you leaving? You know, he sort of gave a wry grin. And indeed, he ended up opting out yesterday.
Wow.
He did not need to be here any longer than that, though. He showed everything he needed to punch his ticket in the first round. Because that kid's going to go nuts next month at the NFL Combine. He's almost 6'6". He's around 300 pounds. He is an athletic freak. And his wingspan is almost 7 feet. So, yeah, it's a guy that Washington could be interested in for sure.
And that's a problem. I mean, you might have to move up to get him, right? Could you see him going inside the top 20, top 25?
Yeah, that's the only bad news I have for Commanders fans on that account. I think prior to this event, that's around where he was getting mocked. You know, his late first, could he even fall into early second? Because it's a kid who's always had the physical ability. But why did he only have whatever it was, 2 sacks last year, 3 sacks last year? And that was the question, you know, he got asked a million times this week. Why did he look so awesome out there on the practice field? We know what your measurables are. Why did it not manifest in the counting stats in college? You know, like we've had a bunch of examples of this. And Daniil Hunter coming out of LSU is a great example of a guy who had a bunch of pressures, but they did not convert into sacks in college. And so your question for him there was why? That was an example of a guy who they ended up getting converted into sacks in the NFL. Jerry Tillery might be an example of a guy who had a bunch of – now this is an interior defensive lineman, but at Notre Dame he had a bunch of pressures that were not turning into sacks. And it just turned out that was sort of a mirage. That's the big question with Stewart. And he was saying, well, I have to get better at finishing the plays. You know, I was on the doorstep so many times. I just have to get better at finishing the plays. We saw that at the Senior Bowl. So he, you know, started addressing one question about his evaluation. But, you know, it's something that evaluators are going to be looking at with them.
Mm. Last one for me. The big kid, Jack Sawyer from Ohio State. Is he down there this week? Because I've seen a lot of connections between Washington and Sawyer. And as far as the off-the-field brotherhood culture kind of guy, he seems like he would check every box.
Yeah, and he sort of carved out a granite, too. And it feels like we see guys like that going to the NFL, and the floor is really, really high there.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's an active guy that plays both ways. And we saw him excel, you know, both setting the edge and then getting after the quarterback. And we saw the concept proven over multiple years at the highest level of college football. So, yeah, I think you have that super-duper high floor. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see him because all the Ohio State kids and one or two of the Notre Dame ones, although we saw a couple more of the Notre Dame ones, opted out prior to the event because we had the unprecedented thing of those kids that played 16 games this year. Right? They literally are coming off an NFL season, which you've never seen college guys before. Four extra games, yeah. So, I mean, you can forgive those guys a bit. They made the national title game. You can forgive them for opting out of the event. But, yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get to see Sawyer.
Last one. Is Restrepo the Miami wide out there? I like that kid.
Yeah. Restrepo is not going to blow anyone away with his measurables. But it's a guy, you watch his game, it's going to grow on you really quickly.
Totally tough.
What he is, he's sitting dead red as an NFL long-term slot.
Right.
I mean, you're getting the efficiency from Xavier Restrepo. He is going to get off the line, and he's going to get open really, really quickly.
He's like Edelman
Yeah. The clockwork type efficiency guy, and then super reliable, when the ball's on the doorstep. It's a guy like Josh Downs coming out a couple of years ago. It's like, yeah, he's confined to the slot, and he's not an athletic freak, but, I know what he's going to be in the NFL. Restrepo, I think he's going to be a mid-round pick. He's not going to, you know, impress anyone at the Underwear Olympics next month in Indianapolis.
Right, right.
But you flip on the tape, he is open every single play. You know, why did Cam Ward throw him the ball a metric ton of times last year? Uh-huh. And the year before when the passing offense wasn't nearly as good. Tyler Van Dyke and the other kid, they couldn't stop throwing to Xavier Restrepo because he's open every single time. And we saw that here as well. The route running, he just has such an advanced feel for it. And then the efficiency of his footwork, the acceleration out of cuts, it's just like a watchmaker. So, yeah, I appreciate Xavier Restrepo's game quite a bit too.
He's going to be a guy that got to throw away to us the measurables and look at the tape.
Look at the tape, man. Thor,
he's just a football player. Yep.
Totally. We appreciate you, bro. Thank you for making time, and maybe we could do it again in a month
or so. Appreciate you, man.
Awesome talking to you, boys. Go Commanders.
All right. That's our guy, Thor Nystrom. Give him a follow at ThorKU. That kid Restrepo, you get him early Saturday morning.
Hey, man.
That's a difference maker. Here's what we are going to do. We're hearing rumors about the uniforms. B. Mitch loves uniform talk. Nobody go anywhere.
I don't.
All right, B. I've heard this from a bunch of different places yesterday.
Okay.
That they're going to tweak the uniforms. I think Bram said it on his show. And I think people, I don't know this, but like NFL teams tweak their uniforms every couple of years. The Eagles just did it. Yeah. Like the Eagles have a new, I think a lot of people will run from X to Y without reason. I guess Bram works for the team, right? He said, the look is something that's making its way. Will that happen anytime soon? I don't think so, but that's a change you may see in the not too distant future. I think the real easy fix on a lot of this is to get the colors closer to what they used to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially the red on the white jerseys is not very reflective of like the old school burgundy.
Yeah. But if they tweak it and they go to something different and don't get back to the original colors, I think we got to get to the point where we get past the what exactly the colors were and go back. Just go to, like I said, winning on a football field makes a difference. Like the trying to get exactly of what the old stuff was. Nah, you got to eventually move on, because when you start modernizing stuff, you're going to lose a little bit of it.
Agree with that. I think it's interesting because they're bringing in a new boss. This dude Klaus is taking over as team president. I think he starts probably now-ish, right? Like he started in January of 25.
I think he's over there now working.
I haven't met him. Have you met him?
I think I did.
Okay. Typically this stuff takes a little time. Like typically when new bosses roll in, they chill for a bit and watch how everything operates. And mm-hmm. then after 6 months or so, then they start to make actions. Like, I'm not sure that you see something right away. Especially coming off such a good season, it's not like they're desperate to. Jaden Daniels is the hottest selling jersey in all sports, right?
Yeah.
I think over time, man, a lot of changes could happen. You don't have to, everybody loves speculating, right?
Hey, man, that's the world today, Jay.
But, like, if you just listen to what these folks have said over the years, they've been very clear how much they love the old team and how they went to RFK and how that was so important to them as people, long before they were billionaires, just as dudes going to football games.
Yeah.
They loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think RFK is probably the top of the list of importance. And it's kind of been my understanding that there's – whether it's real or it can move, but the deadline to know what's going to happen with RFK is like March, April.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine there is anything more important than that on the minds of folks out there.
No, not at all.
And then I can't stress this enough. For the folks that think they're going back to Redskins, you're fundamentally incorrect. Josh Harris has said on the record, we're not going back.
So see, that's why a lot of times when all these little things come up like this, Jay, I don't even care to listen to more, no more. Why? Because that's what they're going to always end up going back to. And that's where I lose my mind at.
So I think, we got to be able to have a conversation. Like, dude, teams that don't have the history of Washington, mm-hmm. how many times have the Jaguars changed their uniforms?
A lot.
Like, the Giants introduced that god-awful red, white, and blue alternate. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles have changed, have tweaked their uniforms about three times over the last decade. This stuff just happens, and it doesn't mean they're going back to the old name or bringing the old logo back. Like, some of this is just business. They introduce new stuff so people buy new stuff.
Yeah.
I think I am.
You enhance things. You make it more modern so people can say, okay, cool, it looks good.
There's a lot of stuff I won't rule out, and that includes another name change maybe eventually, but it ain't going back to Skins. And I think people just got to understand that and kind of move forward with it. Yeah. All right, there's a lot of stuff I want to look at. And I'm asking just for forgiveness today when I cough. I generally try to turn the mic off and stuff. Today we might just have to power through it. But I want to look at all the coaching developments and kind of gauge what you think could happen be. Mm-hmm. I also think there's an incredibly simple underlying premise surrounding all of the interview requests for Commanders' assistants. And I'll explain that. Two, I believe it was Nikki. Somebody from the Post put together a list of the best moments from the season. I want to go through that list, see if we agree, disagree. Brian Westbrook joins us at noon.